Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, Gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Bloody
Angola
podcast. 142 years in the making,
complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman,
and I'm Woody Overton.
And Woody, tell us what we're talking about today.
Well, y'all, this might be a little controversial, or Jimbo, because
we're no stranger to that.
Yeah, and once again, we'll say swim, or I don't even know what the acronym would be for. You find this shit. but it says confidential. And we always told you we're going to bring you different stuff. And I think this is fascinating because, of course, I'm always fascinated with the death penalty and everything else that happens. But what we have for you, and I'll read it, the title, which is the Louisiana State Penitentiary Execution Manual Holders. And it's basically, y'all, we're going to be talking about all the steps and everything has to be lined out in order, right?
Especially for executions, because those are so legally tracked.
Right, I guess you could say. And it's a lot that leads up to it, a lot that goes into it, but a lot of this is really, really interesting. Some of it we're going to skip over because it's just self-explanatory, but it says confidential. Now, evidently, it's not that confidential because it's on the internet, right? So it's not like we broke into Angola and stole their shit, y'all.
Right.
This came off the internet and very interesting. So let's start with the executions, and we're not going to give all the phone numbers for the people that are on the team.
Yeah, we won't put that out there.
But there's a chain of command in the execution. Of course, the governor has the final say-so, and under him, his general counsel and his public PIO, public information officer. Under that, you have the secretary of the Department of Corrections and the deputy secretary, chief operations, their general counsel, director of communications. Then it goes down to the warden of Angola and deputy wardens and the deputy warden security and programming. Then it goes down to public information officer. Naturally, they have to, you know, deal with the media and all that. And then victims, witnesses, and inmate witnesses, because you get to have both sides, and they're sitting on opposite sides of the room. And, of course, under the deputy warden of security is the execution team, and then the sheriff of West Feliciana Parish. Why would you ask for that? Because technically it is a homicide. But
yeah,
the state of Louisiana is doing or carrying out the homicide. So, y'all, I can you know, I again, we didn't get this direct from Angola, but I've seen these type of Department of Corrections memos, if you will. It talks about the purpose is to set forth procedures to be followed for the lethal injection of those who condemned offenders that are sentenced to death. And it talks about who it applies to, which is all the people I told y'all about and the inmates, if they're female, which is only one now, Antoinette Frank. It says the policy. It is the secretary's policy the department shall carry out the death penalty in accordance with the provisions of the Louisiana Revised Statutes. So y'all, that's the law. All execution processes shall be performed in a professional, humane, sensitive, and dignified manner. Execution shall be conducted at Louisiana State Penitentiary, otherwise Bloody Angola. And the warden of that facility is responsible for carrying out the death sentence on the date established by the sentencing court. All right, so the next rule is incarceration prior to execution. Well, it says male offenders sentenced to death shall be incarcerated at Bloody Angola, and female offenders sentenced to death shall be incarcerated at the LCIW, all of this women's prison in St. Gabriel, Louisiana, until the time for execution. The warden shall incarcerate the offender in a manner affording maximum protection to the general public, self-explanatory, and the employees of the department and the security of the institution. And female offenders shall be transported to the Louisiana State Penitentiary for execution as defined by the secretary. And I can tell you that means they're going to move them to the death house, yep, just like they do the males.
Yep.
Also, it has a section on mental competency. Basically, y'all have heard us talk about that. You can't be executed if they say you are
mentally incompetent.
Yeah, right. So the death warrant. The death warrant, y'all, comes down from the courts, but it says upon receipt of a death warrant, the secretary, being the secretary of the Department of Corrections, shall send written notification, including a copy of the warrant, to the following. The warden at Angola, the warden at LCIW, if appropriate, the women's prison, the condemned offender through the appropriate warden's office, the governor, through the governor's executive council, et cetera, the clerk of each court of appeal, and the chairman of the Louisiana Board of Pardons. And it goes on and says that communications. The secretary shall establish a direct and encrypted communication system with the governor's office that ensures the secure communication of information related to the condemned offender. And it goes on. Get some more of that. Now, to the media. The media may contact the warden.
Yeah, and when you're talking about media, obviously, y'all, anytime there's an execution, really anywhere in the United States, the media plays a big role in that. Right. They are all covering that. That's right. It's not something that happens every day. And of course, with the political ties to things like executions, the media is all over it. So some other things that the media do relative to the rules that they have to follow, and there's one of them here that says if the warden, condemned offender, and attorney consent, they can interview, and but you have to schedule a time convenient for the institution. So right. I've seen interviews in the past with people who were eventually executed, and the media is allowed to go in and interview them, assuming that the warden and the offender and the offender's attorney grant that.
Right.
Should the demand for interviews be great? So if it's very, very high profile and you've got 20 different outlets wanting to interview with this individual, the warden may set a day and time for all the interviews in one day to kind of knock them all out. And then he may specify whether the interviews shall be conducted individually or in like a press conference fashion. Right. There's too many requests. Obviously, you can't fill all those requests. So you may say, well, we'll do a press conference. Everybody can be in the room at the same time and ask questions. Right. I've never seen it press conference style with the actual condemned personally, but you know, it's possible. No employee, including the employee witnesses to the execution, except for the secretary of prisons or the warden or someone they designate shall communicate with the press regarding any aspect of the execution. Right. So they're trained. They know how to speak to the press. And so that's what they don't want.
Yeah.
You know, C.O. Hayes, who just started in Angola 2 months ago, to go out there and talk about his hair was on fire.
Yeah, he was flopping around.
Right. Like yeah. Yeah. They're trained to.
And generally, it's real short and sweet. And such and such was condemned to death, and he died or was pronounced dead at such and such time.
That's right. And you may wonder about visits, and we'll tell you a little bit about that. And, of course, in the past, we've covered cases with Sister Helen Prejean where she would visit the condemned just prior to them being executed. And the warden can approve those special visits for the condemned offender. The condemned offender shall not be required to visit with non-staff visitors that the condemned offender doesn't wish to see. So if it's a family member that maybe he's estranged from and they want to see him, he can say no and you can't make him. Right. So the condemned offender also shall be allowed visits with family, friends, and private clergy as approved by the warden. Visits will normally terminate by 3 o'clock p.m. on the day of the execution, except visits with a priest, minister, religious advisor, or attorney. You remember we told you about Sister Helen Prejean up until the time that the condemned was walking
down the hall.
She was walking. They'll
let them sit and pray with him, and they'll take them out and put them in the room, and then they do the death walk.
That's right. And so there's a lot that goes into when someone is, say, 30 days out from an execution. There's a lot that goes into that. The execution team, as they call it, begins conducting training exercises. They actually drill, you know, where they're going to strap them down to apply if you're doing lethal injection like in Angola's case.
And they'll have a correctional officer that plays the part of the inmate, and they come in, more commonly referred to as a tie-down team amongst correctional officers. And they know exactly what they're doing. Each person has a certain area to grab and everything else.
Yeah, and they also have a minimum of once per week that they drill that from 30 days out all the way up. So they should have 4 drills or training exercises prior to that actually taking place. And then 14 calendar days prior to the scheduled execution, the Secretary of Prisons shall give either written or verbal notice of the date and time of the execution to the victim's parents or guardian, spouse, and any adult children who have indicated they desire such notice. The named party shall be given the option of attending the execution. Within 3 days of receiving notification, the named party shall notify the secretary's office, either verbally or in writing, of their intention to attend. So they send out those notices at least 2 weeks prior to that execution. And the warden at Louisiana State Penitentiary shall have the condemned offender complete the request for clergy witness, instructions for disposal of property, and funeral arrangements. So that's got to be freaky.
All the way through.
You're 14 days out, and now you're making your own funeral arrangements. Now, approximately 10 days prior to the scheduled execution date, the warden shall notify the following individuals of the date and time of the execution: the Louisiana State Police, the West Feliciana Parish Sheriff, the West Feliciana Parish Coroner, the condemned offender's clergy representative, and the secretary shall select media representatives. Basically, those in the media that are allowed to be in to witness that execution. Right. Approximately 7 days out of the execution date, the secretary shall notify the warden of the witnesses, the names of the witnesses selected. And approximately 7 days out, the warden shall order that the condemned offender be constantly monitored. This is very interesting. A log entry must be made every 15 minutes that must include movement, mood changes, meals served, showers, telephone calls, etc.
Yeah, that's when they move them to the death house.
Yes, and in 5 calendar days prior to the execution, access to the lethal injection room shall be restricted to only people approved to have access to that room.
Right.
Approximately 12 to 36 hours prior to the execution, the condemned offender shall be transferred from death row and housed in the execution building.
Yeah.
The 15-minute log shall continue to be maintained.
Right.
And the following events shall take place upon the condemned arrival's execution.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Well, so basically, Alvin, then the deputy warden or chief of security at Angola assigns security personnel to staff entrances and checkpoints, and the deputy warden shall ensure that the condemned offender's property is inventoried in front of the condemned offender. Y'all imagine that, right?
Yeah.
And they get to say, I want to send this to
wow.
Then they get to say, I want to give this to whomever, a family member or other inmates, whatever. All communications equipment shall be tested, including primary and secondary communication with the governor's office. That's in case they get the reprieve at the last minute and they can't say the governor was calling and give them reprieve and the phone didn't work.
Yeah, or yeah, it was busy. Busy.
Yeah, the secretary's office and the Louisiana State Police Command Center on the morning of and 1 hour prior to the scheduled execution, they make sure it's all working, y'all, back to the lines of communication. And the warden at Angola shall receive updates from security personnel on crowd control, demonstrations, et cetera, as needed. Now, every execution is advertised and it'll be on the news, and you always have the people protesting outside the gate for and against the death penalty. So, and it first states the deputy warden at LSP shall brief the warden on tension level with the prison population as needed. Now, this happens. Anytime they put everybody on lockdown when they do the executions because they don't want riots and stuff like that, right? And naturally, the emotions are high. They're
sure.
Killing one of their own. And the warden shall advise the secretary of any unusual activity. All right. Time and place. The execution shall take place at the Louisiana State Penitentiary between the hours of 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. All right. Witnesses. The witnesses shall be over 18 years of age, and all witnesses shall agree to sign the report of execution. The execution shall take place in the presence of the following witnesses: the warden or his designee, the coroner for West Feliciana, a physician chosen by the warden. Naturally, somebody's got to say they're dead, right? A competent person selected by the warden to administer the lethal injection, which is interesting that, you know, you never know who it's going to be. A priest, minister, or religious advisor if the offender so requests. So,
yeah.
The not less than five nor more than seven other witnesses are required by law to be present. The witnesses shall be selected as follows. Three of the witnesses shall be members of the news media selected by the secretary from the following categories: represented from the Associated Press, a rep from selected from the media persons requesting to be present. So all of them, a lot of them requested, and they just pick whomever, by lottery system, whatever. So, and one of them is going to be present from the parish where the crime was committed, and a representative selected from all other media persons requesting to be present. So that's how they get the three. These witnesses must agree to act as pool reporters for the remainder of the media present, meaning they have to share their shit, y'all, and meet with all media representatives immediately following execution. That's where the press conference comes in. And up to two witnesses may be victim relationship witnesses. If more than two victim relationship witnesses desire to attend the execution, the secretary can select from the interested parties the two victim relationship witnesses who shall be authorized to attend. So basically, it's the same amount, but a whole bunch of the victim's family members want to the Secretary of the Department of Corrections gets to choose who it is, right? And the remaining witnesses shall be selected by the secretary. So witnesses are not required to be citizens of the state of Louisiana, and all persons selected as witnesses shall sign that same agreement by witnesses to the execution prior to being put in the execution room, all right? So what happens? The execution team. The warden at Angola shall appoint and remove all members of the execution team at his discretion. The execution team shall consist of the warden of the Angola, an escort team, consisting of escort team leader, and at least six additional members, and an IV team, very important, consisting of an IV team leader and a single IV team member. So,
yeah, and we'll get into that. So the escort team is all correctional employees with the training and experience of escorting secured offenders on behalf of the department. So you got, look, they're escorting you to the death chamber.
Right. And
there's all kinds, you might freak out.
Even though they select them, they have to volunteer to be selected. They're just not picking Sally Sue out of the tower and saying, you got to be on the escort team.
Yeah, and they have specific training for that. Right. And then the IV team, you have an IV team leader and an IV team member, and they shall be individuals with at least 1 year professional experience in the following specialty areas: one, phlebotomist, two, emergency medical technician, three, paramedic, or four, military corpsman with training in phlebotomy. So the members of that IV team must remain certified in their profession and must fulfill any continuing education requirements of their profession. So they're not just, again, letting someone from the guard shack go down there and inject button or however.
The main thing is insert an IV. Remember the story we had on the inmate that maybe it was out of Alabama. Yeah, the one out of Alabama where they tried for like 2 hours to find a vein.
Yeah. So they want, obviously, a professional in that situation. And the execution team must have participated in a minimum of at least two practices prior to participating in the actual execution. Now, you might wonder what kind of training the execution team gets. So we're going to give you a little bit of their training schedule. When no execution date has been set, okay, so there's no executions on the books to be held. The members of the execution team shall train at least once every 6 months at a time established by the warden. The escort team and the IV team may train independently of the other members of the execution team. When the execution date has been set, the execution team shall train at least weekly at times established by the warden. So if you're 30 days out, like we said, you're going to get 4 training sessions before the actual execution. Training required. In addition to qualifications, other qualifications, the execution team shall train as a whole when the training schedule requires weekly training. Members of the team shall participate in training as a unit and in one or more drills with all members enacting their individual responsibilities.
Right. And I hate to equate to like a NASCAR pit crew, but they get it down to where it's seamless.
Yeah. Yeah. It's muscle memory almost. Right. All training of the members of the execution team shall be documented. It's very important that they have actual evidence of the training and the execution procedures that follow that. The execution shall be conducted in accordance, obviously, with all that training. No cameras or recording devices, either audio or video, shall be permitted in the execution room. Right. The witnesses shall enter the witness room where they receive a copy of the condemned offender's written last statement. Uh-huh. That's interesting, and I did not know that. If he issues one, he doesn't have to.
And that's in case the audio or she. Something goes out too, right?
Right, and the condemned offender shall then be taken to the lethal injection room by the escorting officers. Once in the room, the condemned offender shall be afforded the opportunity to make a last statement, mm-hmm. if he desires. Some do, some don't. He shall then be assisted onto the lethal injection table and properly secured to that table. Once the officers exit the room, the warden shall close the curtain to the witness room and signal the IV team to enter.
Right, right.
The IV team then enters and prepares the condemned offender for execution and exits the room. The warden team then reopens the curtain. So imagine that. That curtain closes. Nothing's hooked up to him. When it reopens, he's hooked up to everything.
And they're also they're protecting the identity of the people who actually insert the IVs.
Yes. The persons designated by the warden at the warden's direction shall then administer by IV injection the appropriate substance in a lethal quantity into the body of the offender until he is deceased.
Right.
So the execution takes place, and then you've got a bunch of stuff that goes on post-execution. Mm-hmm. So at the conclusion of the execution, the coroner or his deputy comes in, and they pronounce the condemned offender dead.
Right.
The warden shall advise the secretary that the coroner has pronounced the condemned offender dead.
Right.
The secretary then advises the governor that the execution has been carried out.
Right.
The witnesses shall be escorted from the witness area. Mm-hmm. The body of the condemned offender shall be removed from the room, and disposition of the body shall be in accordance with arrangements made prior to the execution at the condemned offender's request. And the warden then makes a written report citing the manner and date of the execution, which all of the witnesses as well as the warden sign. So he can't put whatever he wants.
Right.
Everybody has to sign that witnessed that. The report is filed with clerk of court in the parish where the sentence was originally imposed.
Right.
So that's after that execution of that particular individual.
So y'all, let's go back and talk about it for a minute and break it down piece by piece. Okay. Once the IV is inserted, they reopen the curtain. They will read the death warrant out loud, and they'll give them the chance to say the last words. And some don't say anything, and some might curse, and some might say whatever, right? But it's their last words. And then the warden gives the nod, and the buttons are pushed. You cannot see who it is that's pushing the buttons. That's not if they're behind a wall. And so no one knows, right? And once the coroner comes in and pronounces them dead, the physician is in there naturally, and they say it's the Moharby, whatever, and they call in the coroner. Coroner verifies that the the inmate is in fact dead. Then they'll close the curtains back. Everybody has to sign the warrant, the papers, like Jim said, and then they will bag and tag the body. Now, most of the people at Angola have been there, like these people that are about to start being executed again by the new governor, that forever. Then they don't even have people that can come witness or certainly can afford to, you know, put out a burial, which costs as much as a new car nowadays. And a lot of them are buried, as we told you in previous episodes, at Point Lookout and by coffins that the inmates make, et cetera. So it's a, you know, real detailed, lengthy process. And, you know, the sheriff is there. Everyone's there, and they make everyone sign it so that nobody can come back later on and say, oh, it was cruel and it was unusual, or, you know, y'all did this and you disrespected him in this way or whatever.
Right. And certainly, you know, you're going to expect, and this happens in executions all over the country where they protest the death penalty.
Right. Anti-death
penalty. And you're certainly going to have that there at the facility. And there's actually a place for those people to stand outside. And
just as well as the ones that are pro-death penalty.
That's right.
And they keep them separated, y'all, outside the front gates of Bloody Angola. And they'll come out at some point and say the execution is complete, and then, you know, they passed at whatever time the coroner calls it. And that's another reason a coroner comes in. Physician can say no longer breathing, no longer has a heartbeat. Coroner has to come in and say, okay, then he's officially dead at 6:07 p.m. or whatever.
Right.
And that's what goes on the death certificate, too.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah. Pretty wild stuff. And, you know, you may wonder, well, what if it's a woman who's, because they house those at Louisiana Correctional Institute for Women, LCIW, as it's known. And just quickly, those offenders, you know, everything is pretty much the same as far as procedure, except for when those female offenders receive that death sentence and they're incarcerated at LCIW, they house them in a block known as the Leo cell block at LCIW. And on the day of the execution, that's actually when they transfer them to Louisiana State Penitentiary. So they actually got to take that bus ride, which has got, you know, I'm sure agonizing. Trippy,
right. Yeah.
Because, you know, that's going to be your last ride for all intents and purposes. But outside of that, pretty much the process stays exactly the same. Now, something that is interesting is the amount of paperwork involved in one of these things. They actually have, and I have copies of when death warrants are signed. For example, I have one here that is when Bobby Jindal was governor of Louisiana. And just to tell you what they say, it says, "Dear Governor Jindal, in accordance with," and they read the revised statute, "please find a enclosed copy of the original death warrant. This warrant was signed by judge, insert judge's name, on insert date, and the execution is scheduled for insert date, and we'll advise you of any updates." So they send that out to make sure the governor knows, because at that point, only the governor can stop that execution. Yeah. So definitely he needs to be made aware that it's going to take place. In addition to that, they have papers that they send out to the warden at the penitentiary, at Louisiana State Penitentiary at that time, with what we told you, clergy requests, funeral arrangements, all those sorts of things.
Anything you do with state government has a shit ton of paperwork.
In a situation like this. Like this.
The ultimate, right?
Yeah, you don't want to drop the ball on having all your ducks in a row.
And the reason they have all these forms is because in the past, something's been messed up or something's been challenged.
And, you know, here in the state of Louisiana, and I know we've talked about this before, and Woody's talked even a little bit about this on Real Life, Real Crime, but with the new leadership at governor in the state of Louisiana, the being such a focus on crime,
right. Yeah.
With this new governor, and you know, you're going to probably see those executions rolling through at a high rate.
It's coming. And Alabama just successfully completing the first one. Pure nitrogen. The Louisiana is now looking at that as a possibility also, as are several other states. And some other states have already approved. They just hadn't used it yet. But Jeff Landry was the attorney general, y'all. You have to keep this in mind. It's not a political show, but the attorney general being the top law enforcement officer in the state, he knows every one of these cases. He's seen them. He's read them. His people have briefed him on them, and he knows the true horror and the evil in it. And he's going, more importantly, he's just a big believer in the law, following the letter of law. What the judge says and what the people voted on, and what the law states, he's going to carry it out.
He's going to carry it out, and he even made some statements, y'all, at a recent press conference where he said, you know, the people have already spoken, right. And that's why these individuals are in the position that they're in, and he considers it his responsibility to carry out the wishes of the people.
Right.
And also, you know, he looks at it as the state of Louisiana made a promise to those victims' families.
That's right.
And I'm not going to break that promise.
Right. Another thing is he is a proponent of following the law, but on the flip side of that is, to the advantage of the offender, he follows the appeals process. And they go for 20, 25, however many years. So he's not going to do it. He's not going to rush something, right? He's going to make sure all avenues have been exhausted in court. All appeals have been exhausted. But ultimately, that last call is going to come down to him.
That's right.
And I bet you in the execution chamber, that little phone on the wall is not going to be ringing.
Yeah. It would have to take a remarkable piece of evidence to
something.
Pop up.
If something came forward or something, some miracle thing or whatever. Look, we don't want anybody to be executed incorrectly, but I believe that the people spoke and I believe in the process. And I know a lot of people hate the idea of the death penalty, but you haven't seen what I've seen. And I'm telling you, I don't care how big a proponent or opponent you are of the death penalty. If the shit that I've seen happen to anyone that you love, you'd be fluffing size.
Right. And, by the time that execution takes place, all those appeals have been exhausted.
Yeah. 20 plus years.
Right? Yeah. I mean, when you're getting to 30 days out, they don't have any appeals left,
right,
and short
right.
of a flat out miracle. And look, y'all, have there been people that have been on death row and then been exonerated?
Yep,
yes, absolutely. But it is so rare you wouldn't believe it.
But that goes back to my point of the appeals process. I'm not against it.
Yeah,
I think it takes too long, but I'm not against it because somewhere during that appeals process, they got DNA evidence or they got whatever, and they overturned the conviction or at least got them off of death row.
Yeah,
and they're like, there's maybe not enough here to say you're not guilty, but.
Right, that's usually what will happen.
We'll give you life in prison instead. And they're glad to get him because they know they're guilty as hell, and that they just happen to happen to put such a conflict on appeal that they're like, okay, I'll take that deal.
Yeah, maybe they find someone that, they'll find something in that court record that shouldn't have happened, and it doesn't mean the person didn't do it. It just... What they'll do is they will
try and go through, put the family and everybody through it all again.
Yeah, they'll offer clemency and give that person a life sentence versus the death penalty. But it doesn't mean they're out of jail.
Right.
It doesn't mean they didn't do it.
Right.
It just means there was a technicality somewhere.
People that are dying in Angola, not by execution that were slated for execution.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Indeed.
For that very reason.
So that is, we wanted to bring that to y'all today. We thought that was really interesting, the process of preparing to die, preparing for that execution from the staff's, you know, eyesight, I guess.
Yeah, basically the rules and the procedures for death and rules and procedures for everything, right? And
that's right.
And Louisiana per capita before John Bel Edwards executed more people than anybody in the United States.
Yeah.
Texas has a bigger population and more people on death row, but per capita we did. And, you know, it is what it is. However you feel about it, we're just telling you straight up facts and the laws and the rules and the procedures.
That's right.
Pretty crazy.
Pretty crazy.
And it's going to be coming back up soon.
Yep. So, yep.
And then I think, I never got to witness one. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you hadn't got to witness one, but you might have. Put a couple people there. Matter of fact, I know you did.
Yeah, I did that, and but it, you know, it is what it is.
Everybody pays for it eventually.
That's right. You're gonna pay for it one way or another.
Yeah,
whether you're facing your maker or facing that table in the execution room.
Amen to that.
We want to say thank you to our sponsors. Say thank you to our patron members. We love y'all.
Shout out to Factor and HelloFresh, man. They've been with us for a long time.
And both great meal deals, man. It's just love, and we appreciate them. But our patron members, we love y'all, and we thank you so much. Show couldn't run without you. I'm actually going to record something this week. Jim carried me last week. I had something come up. But I'm going to put up a little something that I have a little knowledge on. I think it's going to blow your mind.
You're going to drop a little knowledge for the patron member. A little bonus episode.
A little bonus speakage about stuff that you don't know. And maybe some places you won't be going anymore. I tell you about it.
Yeah.
So love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And look, if you're a local to the Baton Rouge, Livingston, really the Louisiana area.
Right.
If you're local to Louisiana and you're interested in sponsoring the show, we have some special things that we're doing just for local businesses.
Absolutely.
So reach out to me. You can shoot me a message on Facebook, or you can email bloodyangola@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And I'll follow up with you and give you the information.
Remember, y'all, we can give you numbers all day long on how podcasts are now the new medium people go to because it's on-demand entertainment. They can do it whenever. But, hey, we won Best History Podcast in the world this year.
Yep.
The People's Choice Award, which is huge. We have a huge listener base and very, very loyal fans. So, Jim started out with local leaders. We started out with the Paint Podcast first, but then the local leaders.
Yep.
And every business – has its own story, but we also, if we believe in your product, we want to promote it and let everybody know about it.
That's right. So until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Bloody
and Gola.
A podcast, 142 years in the making.
Complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
Peace.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, Gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.